All right. So obviously, Pastor is not here because Judy says she dropped him off at the airport. She wanted to get rid of him for a while, so she sent him to Hungary. So we're going to revisit the same verse in Psalms that we had up at the beginning. It says, the godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. They have made God's law their own so that they will never stray from his path. Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31. So the question is, are you offering good counsel? Are you teaching others? Are you in need of good counsel? Well, we are all in need of good counsel. Have you made God's law your own? So we all need godly counsel and teaching to avoid straying from his path. Proverbs 11:14 say, without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. Well, from ancient times until today, wise leaders listen to their advisors. Even kings have advisors that they listen to. Dictators, on the other hand, they don't have counsel, and they don't listen to anything but their own desires of how they want to rule and what they want to do. So if we're not listening to God's word and advice from other Christians, aren't we like dictators? You know, modern society tells us that it's okay to just go out and get whatever it is that we want, regardless of how it affects anyone else in our lives. That's interesting. So are we out there acting as dictators, dictating our own lives and how we want our lives to run? Or are we asking God what he wants us to do with our lives and fulfilling his plans for us? Proverbs 27:9 says, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. We're talking about a real friend who has no motives other than what is in your best interest. Amen. And they will tell you exactly what the truth is, whether it's good or bad about you, because they want what is best for you. You know, it's not always sweet when you receive it, you know, because it might point out a fault that you have, you know, but after you digest it, it does become sweet. I have a very good friend, and I think I've mentioned to some people before, and when Vicky and I first started dating, you know, something would happen and I'd be upset with her, and so I would go home and I would be sitting there. I see her shaking her head now. And I'd be sitting there being upset, and he would ask me what was going on, and he would look at me and say, you need to call her and you need to talk to her, or you need to go see her and talk to her, because this is not going to end well. You know, and he was willing to tell me that at the expense of the fact that I might get angry with him because he's pointing out a fault that I had. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. You know, I saw this verse, it popped up to me, and, you know, I almost didn't include it because we hear it so often that it almost sounds cliched. But God's word is never a cliche. You know, we're in a spiritual battle each day. Even if we have given ourselves to Christ, we still have to give an account for our transgressions that we make in this life. And we, as believers, we have won the war. But if we are not going to battle for those around us, we are not true Christian soldiers. And that is our call. Not to live life for ourselves, but to live for all of those around us. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 through 12. Question for you. If you were to fall, do you have someone to help you up? Do you have someone to lie you when it is cold? Or are you standing alone? You know, we're not talking about tripping and falling over a rock or a stick, or lying in bed with your wife or husband if you're married, or in some other perverted sense, or encountering a mugger in an alley. We're talking about our spiritual welfare. This is a spiritual battle. And this is how we're talking about how we should be prepared for this battle by surrounding ourselves with brothers and sisters in Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into that same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. God expects us to watch out for one another and to correct as needed. You know, it might be what we consider to be a small sin. We might be tempted to engage in that small sin with the other person. You know, it could be such things as off-color jokes, drinking to excess, discussing the opposite sex lewdly. You know, be careful that you're not pulled in unaware. Talks about falling into temptation. Well, it could be that same temptation that other person's involved in. But on the same hand, it could be gossiping about that person who is struggling and passing judgment on them instead of stepping up, helping them in their struggle. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 11 through 17. As Sam reminded us at the men's retreat, people that we see as the enemy are really just victims of the real enemy. They don't know God. or they've been blinded by Satan to attack us even from within the church body. You know, we think about people we would consider to be the enemy. What about Paul? You know, we consider him a great Christian, having penned multiple chapters of the Bible and setting guidelines for Christian life. But he started out persecuting Christians. Now, if that doesn't sound like somebody that I would consider an enemy, I don't know what is. You know, modern times, what about North Korea? You know, we consider them an enemy because of all the horrific and inhumane things that they do to the people who live there. You know, it makes it easier, I know it makes it easier for me, to pray for Kim Jong-un and for all the soldiers who serve under him when you realize that they are merely pawns of the devil, blinded by the truth of what they're doing. Talks about the good news. What is the good news? Well, Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers us from his death and resurrection. And that we know that when we die, if we accept Jesus Christ, that we'll be going to heaven and the certainty of where we're going to be going. We talk about armor in this verse. So the soldiers go into battle one by one. I'll give you snipers, but they're not involved in hand-to-hand combat. They're at a distance. But boots on the ground soldiers are there as part of a team. One looks out after another, and no one is left behind. Sometimes it might take some time to get that last soldier out, but they are not forgotten. So don't forget about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for those who have left the path. Maybe they've left the body here at Center Barnes City Christian Church. But like a sniper, that's how Satan tries to get in and erode our ability to bring the news of salvation to those in his clutches. He's trying to discourage us and make us feel that we can't make a difference. Because if we can't even make a difference, those who are in our church, it's going to discourage us from our ability to feel that we can make a difference. But as long as we stand together, we can encourage each other to be the best soldiers for Christ. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Have you motivated someone lately? How have you provided an example? So we're meeting here today, but does that happen outside of this building on Sundays? If you're not meeting outside of this building on Sundays, I implore you to find a way to make that happen. You know, whether it's through activities that are offered by the church, or better yet, one-on-one or in small groups outside of what is organized. Get together and pray for one another. Have dinner, have lunch together. Live life together. It could be hair appointments, doctor's appointments. Even the most mundane things soldiers do together. And that's why they are so strong in battle. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. James chapter 5, verse 16. Find someone that you can confide your sins into, confide your sins to, and pray with them to overcome them. Having someone who has or is going through the same thing that you are can be helpful. Just be sure that that person that you choose is grounded in the Word of God so that they are not led astray or further lead you astray. You know, it's very easy to get together and commiserate about all your troubles, but if that's all you're doing, you're not fulfilling God's wish for you. You need to get together, talk about the problems you're having, and pray about it so that you can overcome those issues. And then the last verse I have is found twice in Proverbs, found in Proverbs 22, verse 3, and 27, verse 12. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. It's pretty blunt and pretty to the point. So it appears twice. So it must be pretty important. So I want to ask, you know, which are you? Are you a prudent person? Or are you a simpleton that is going blindly, unaware of the danger that your everlasting soul faces? At this point, I'd like to ask, if there's anybody who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, it's time to make a decision. Do you want to stay a simpleton, unaware of what's going to happen? Or do you want to become that prudent person who is aware of the danger and takes steps? If anybody needs somebody to pray with, I know Dennis and Denny would be more than happy to speak with you. Mark, I know Bob White would as well, and anybody else in here. So if you need somebody to discuss that with, feel free to do that.